It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable G.T. Thompson, representing the 15th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Great to be with you.
You've had, I'd like to say just a busy week, but I think you've had probably a busy year so far.
Yeah, it has been busy, obviously. We've been with my responsibilities and my leadership within the Agriculture Committee, working hard both back home and here in Washington on behalf of our farm families.
And let me go ahead and mention that I'm a member of the House Ag Committee, but also ranking member on the General Farm Commodities and Risk Management Subcommittee. You are also sitting on a couple of other subcommittees as well. And one of those met on Tuesday. The other one met on Wednesday. The Wednesday Biotech, Horticulture, and Research. Was it a productive hearing?
It was a very productive hearing. I thought the chairwoman and a ranking member did a great job. We had a panel of five. We had researchers. We had a farmer. We had folks from Extension. We had diverse in terms of areas of the country as well. And it was really about the use of biotechnology to mediate the risk that we know that agriculture has. And we talked a lot about climate and weather, and we know that agriculture has always, it's been one of the challenges that, from the very beginning, I think, that farmers and farm families face when it comes to being able to mitigate the risk when it comes to weather. So, I thought it was a very, very productive hearing.
Now, let me segue just a bit into another issue that I know you're pretty passionate about, and this one I don't think really ties back over to the climate at this point, but it's the dairy industry. And dairy industry has really been hammered, not just one, two, three, multiple years now.
Yeah, well, Tony, actually, and it does tie back in, especially when my dairy farm is back in Pennsylvania, with weather, where a lot of the rest of the country is getting drier. In Pennsylvania, we're just blessed, overly blessed with rainfall. In fact, there was a professor there from Cornell University, a great agricultural science professor, and he had his same experience in New York. So how is that a problem? Well, quite frankly, we have a lot of dairy farms because of flooding last fall, because of the rainfall going late into the year. Farmers weren't able really to harvest a lot of their grasses, their hay, their feed. We mostly grow our own feed, corn, soybeans, hay. And so a lot of our dairy farms who are normally self-sufficient at purchasing, at feeding their own herds, they're out having to buy it. So the two things do bleed together. And dairy's always been something that I've been passionate about. I lead on dairy here in Washington, and our dairy farmers have been struggling for some time. They have actually dating back to about 2000, even prior to 2009, 2010, we had peaks and valleys, inconsistencies that made it very, very difficult. In good years, in bad years, the farmers were taking out lines of credit, to fund their operation. And in good years, they weren't getting ahead. They were paying back the loans. And so we tried to take some of that volatility out of dairy after that. Unfortunately, what happened in 2009, 2010, which didn't happen in the Agriculture Committee, it happened in the Education and Labor Committee. They basically they passed school nutrition standards that demonized milk fat. And when they did, they took both flavor and nutrition out of our schools. And if you look at the significant decrease in milk consumption among schools since that time, over that what now is a 9-year period, it tracks almost exactly with the decrease in financial viability of our dairy farms. And so we actually lost an entire generation of dairy drinkers, milk drinkers, and so I'm working hard to turn that around.
When you say you're working hard, I know you're really pushing on this and trying to get whole milk back in. Is it happening?
Yeah, it is. Well, we're getting closer on whole milk. The first step was just getting milk fat. Okay, and so we were successful in Secretary Perdue, who was just a great agriculture leader. I very much enjoy working with this man. a good friend. He actually, about a year and a half ago, implemented a regulatory change that restored 1% milk fat and flavor. That could be chocolate, it could be creamsicle, peanut butter. There's some pretty creative stuff out there today when it comes to milk flavors back into our schools. And milk consumption has gone up as a result. Now, the difference, as you know, and most of your listeners know, the difference between whole milk and 1% is whole milk is 3.5% milk fat. It's amazing how many people you would talk with. There are too many generations removed from the farm. They think it's 100% milk fat, and it's not. And so I do have a bill. It's a bipartisan bill. In fact, Colin Peterson, who is the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, a Democrat, friend of mine, is my lead co-sponsor. It's called Whole Milk for Healthy Kids. And we are working hard to provide, not dictate what kids should drink, but provide schools the option to really offer full nutrition to these kids. And it is something that I am all in on. Next week, on Tuesday of next week, I will be hosting, first of all, I'll be speaking at hearings in my state capitol, and I'll be speaking and presenting to the State House and Senate agriculture committees there. And at 11 o'clock in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Rotunda, we're going to do this great rally, Whole Milk for Healthy Kids rally. And we got a lot of people coming. There are farmers, there are farm families, kids are coming, teachers, dietitians. I mean, it really is rallying for nutrition for our kids. And it's nutrition that whole milk provides. It really is a nutrition powerhouse, 9 essential elements, nutritional elements that it provides for our kids. And quite frankly, it's nutritional elements that we all need all the time. You know, I don't know whether you realize this, there are professional sports teams today that use whole milk as a part of their rehabilitation. It rebuilds body. There's research that shows if you have cardiac problems, it can help to rebuild your cardiac health. If you need to lose weight, like I could probably use a little bit of that. Quite frankly, they find that a good glass of whole milk is satisfying. It has less sugar, and it's a great part of any type of diet. The research is really remarkable. I'm hoping at some point we will be able to have the Education and Labor Committee consider my legislation. But we do have some resistance. But the resistance is coming from folks who are stuck back 9 years ago, and they're not really up to date with the science as it is today.
As you talk about this, this is, again, trying to rebuild some of that demand. But in the interim, dairy producers have been hurting. You did some work in the 2018 Farm Bill, and just this week, Farm Service Agency announcing some sign updates. Fact is this is also retroactive. Good news there.
Yeah, there certainly is, actually. I mean, just this afternoon, we had a briefing with the Undersecretary for Agriculture, or for on the dairy margin coverage sign up, and it was great to welcome our Undersecretary for Farm Programs and Conservation, Bill Northey, here to the Hill. He brought his a lot of his staff members, and he did a great job. And the dairy margin coverage actually sign up is next week. And so that is so important for our dairy farm families to get signed up for this. And I understand that some of them were discouraged from the 2014 Farm Bill. Quite frankly, what we had passed out of the Agriculture Committee would have worked for our dairy farm families, but unfortunately that version got really maligned by other members of Congress, so the Budget Committee and leadership, and they changed the numbers to a point where it really wasn't helpful. And even if you were qualified for it, it wasn't helpful, nor was it affordable. But that's not what we have today. What we have today truly is affordable, and it really is kind of almost a guarantee of an income for farmers. So the sign up is next week, starting June 17th. There is a retroactive sign up that goes back back to March of 2019. We actually had already rolled something out for a retroactive sign up to the livestock gross margin producers. They've been the bigger farms, I would say. And we had 400 of those who were out there, and Secretary Northey reported today 347 signed up, and essentially came out to about $20,000 per producer. You know, in dairy farming today, that's that's helpful. You know, that is not a bad number. And the reimbursements, they could either take 50%, they get 50%, the difference between their premiums and their indemnity that they were paid. They could get that at 50% if they took cash, or 75% if they used it towards a credit, towards purchase. So just a lot of opportunities out there. You know, the dairy coverage, margin coverage, that program itself really is good for the smaller herds, you know, probably 200 head and less. But the important part is we've got two different options. One, if you're a larger herd. Now, if you're a larger herd, you should still participate in it, because you want to ensure that first 5 million of pounds of milk. You know, the average 5 million pounds is about milking 200 head. The average size herd in my home state is probably less than 100. It's probably in the, around the 87 to 90. But it's and then the fact is, if they lock in for 5 years, there's a 25% discount, which is pretty significant. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is we really made this so that it was affordable. And then the end, that it would actually pay. Now, when I work on dairy, Bobby, I spend 65% of my time working on market, because I don't want them to have to use the safety net. But I do spend 35% of my time, more or less, to make sure that the safety net is effective. And I think we've accomplished that. But it's not going to be effective if they don't sign up for it. Really important to sign up for the dairy margin coverage.
It's the Honorable G.T. Thompson representing Pennsylvania in the House Agriculture Committee. And from Washington, D.C., I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.